सहना भवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। मे ब्रह्मन् प्रोटेक्ट अस, मे ही गाइड अस, मे ही गिव अस स्ट्रेंथ एंड राइट अंडरस्टैंडिंग। मे लव एंड हार्मनी बी विद अस ऑल। पीस 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 बी अन टू ऑल। वेदांत सार आप सदानंद योगींद्र। इन आवर लास्ट क्लास वी टॉक्ड अबाउट इग्नोरेंस and its two powers, veiling power and projecting power. We project. This whole creation is nothing but the projection of human mind. Hard to believe. How we project, how do we project? When we find we cannot ascertain something, you know, due to darkness, we project various kinds of things. Vivekananda gave an illustration. There is a stump of a tree. Due to darkness, we do not see the tree properly. So the police is thinking there is a thief. The thief is thinking there is a police. A man is thinking there is a woman. The woman is thinking there is a man. Actually, it is the stump of a tree. All these projections are coming through from different minds according to their mental makeup. Here is a saint. A sinner thinks that he is a sinner because his projection comes from sin. A pure person sees that he is a saint. Because his mind is so pure, he only projects the pure things. If you are a good man, you will see good everywhere. If you are a bad person, you will see bad everywhere. If you have blue glasses, you see everything is blue. If it is green, you see everything in green. If they are yellow jaundice, if you have yellow jaundice, you will see everything yellow. Everything comes from projection. How do you see this world? You know, it is extremely important for all of us to scrutinize this universe where we live in. What is this world? Who created it? What is the... You know, it is a really, this universe is a mystery. The greatest mystery of human beings is the human being is himself or herself. Maya. This whole creation is the play of a great magician. I remember I went to see the magic of P.C. Sarkar, one of the greatest magicians in the world. On the stage, I found a motor car, four girls entered inside, and they vanished in no time. Just magic. To me, it was real. This whole world is a great magic show. If you take it really, you know, if you think that it is real, you will be in trouble. I told you many times, if you really want to understand yourself, think about your waking state, your dream state, your sleep state. Then you will know who you are. You, in the waking state, you enjoy this world through your senses. In the dream state, you enjoy this world through through your mind. In dreamless sleep state, you see, you enjoy this world through your ignorance. There is no mind. And again you come back to the waking state. So you, myself, all beings are continuously going these three stages, waking state, dream state, sleep state. Again, waking state, dream state, sleep state. 80 years, 90 years, 100 years, as long as you are alive, you are continuously, you, myself, everyone, every one of us is continually rotating these three places, centering that consciousness. Your consciousness never departs you. You are the sakshi, witness of your waking state, dream state, sleep state. We shall scrutinize this world tonight. What is this world? Why are we living? You know, sometimes we say creation according to the Bible. Let there be sun, there is sun. Let there be light, there is light. Let there be water, there is water. Let there be earth, there is earth. These are coming from the lips of God, and everything creation takes place accordingly. We call it orders, order, you know, it came from the order of God, you see. Orderly creation. Creation came out of order, out of command. But Vedanta creation is very scientific. Shuktiddayubhat agyanupuhito chaitannam svapradhanataya nimittam swapadi pradhanataya upadhananancha bhavati. Consciousness associated with ignorance, possessed of these two powers, when considered from its own standpoint, is the efficient cause. And when considered from the standpoint of the upadhi, or limitation, is the material cause of the universe. Some words, Vedantic terminology, perhaps in the beginning may be a little difficult for you to understand, but let me give an illustration, then you will understand what they are going to explain to you. Efficient cause, material cause. Efficient cause means the instrument, instrumental cause. Here is a potter, and here is his wheel. On that wheel, he puts a lump of clay. And it is the potter seated near that, he rotates the wheel, and the clay rotates. And he is thinking, what do I need today? Flower vase. Immediately his fingers holds the clay, and immediately starts to make flower vases. Today, mug, coffee mug. Immediately he will put the finger differently. Today, cup. Next day, saucer. Next day, big bowl. Whatever comes to his mind, immediately his fingers takes that form. Takes the shape accordingly, so that the clay is rotating. Immediately he starts to make those things. We see it, we know it. That is the way it works. So this potter is the efficient cause, and this clay is the material cause. So please understand, don't forget this illustration. It's efficient cause, material cause, because we are going to bring God in this place. So the moment I know, tell you efficient cause, you know the potter. And material cause means clay. Another word I shall use, upadhi. Upadhi means adjunct, limitation. Here is a crystal, and here is a red hibiscus. The moment red hibiscus comes near the crystal, this crystal has no color. It takes red color. If you bring a blue flower, it will take blue color. Green, green color. Yellow, yellow color. Whatever things you bring near that thing, it takes that color. That is called upadhi, adjunct, limitation. actually this crystal is colorless. Do you know what it is talking to you or to all of us? It is telling your consciousness is just like crystal, no color. Your thinking, your thoughts are bringing color to that crystal, that thought, that consciousness, and immediately taking various kinds of forms. Swamiji made a remark, "Madam, it is a great mistake that you think that you are an American and you are a woman. Why are you limiting yourself? You are the infinite one. You are thinking I'm an American, I'm a woman. It is a mistake, great mistake. You are the infinite one. See the Vedantic position? Your real nature is divine, infinite. You are thinking, I am a man, I am a woman, I am, you know, this way you are limiting yourself. That limitation is called upadhi. A maya, this ignorance, is a limitation, is upadhi. President Clinton, what is his upadhi? President. Bill Clinton is president. Presidentship is his upadhi, adjunct, superimposed on him, so he can rule this country 4 years or 8 years. That is called upadhi, adjunct, limitation. The question arises whether Brahman is the material or the efficient cause of the universe. That is, whether Brahman has created the universe like the potter making his pot, or whether Brahman has transformed himself into the universe like the transformation of milk into curd. Now the prima facie view is that Brahman is not the efficient cause, because in that case he would be quite different from his creation as the potter is from the pot he makes. That is true. Let me tell you first the conclusion, then you will understand better. Because we shall argue a lot. But if I tell you the conclusion, you will remember that what is in my mind, what all these arguments for. Conclusion is, Nirgun Brahman is beyond cause. For those who have, I recently saw a video show, they call it Jesus at 2000. The symposium took place in Oregon, Portland. Houston Smith tried to show the position of God. Here is Godhead. This is God. This is angel and devil. And this is material universe and human beings. He made four classifications. Godhead, he is the God of God, that is Brahman. You see, Christians only, Meister Eckhart mentioned that thing, Godhead, source of all gods. Then comes God, who is the creator, preserver, and dissolver of this universe. Next come angel and devil. Good spirit, bad spirit, that is the realm of the spirit. Next step is this material world and beings. Human relationship. Now this Brahman is beyond everything, uncaused. Please, Swami, why do you keep Brahman uncaused? Do you know why? The moment you bring everything in the causality, then it will be in the cause and effect theory, nobody will get liberation. All through your life, you will rotate in cause and effect, cause and effect, cause and effect. No liberation for you. We want to be liberated. We want to transcend beyond space, time, causation. Remember, this is a very definite rule. Every cause must have an effect. Every effect must have a cause. It cannot be otherwise. You are happy, there must be a cause. You are miserable, there must be a cause. I try to understand this cause and effect theory. Christ said in the Bible, as you sow, so you reap. You can't escape. If you do good karma, you are bound to get good result. If you do bad karma, you are bound to get bad result. You cannot escape it, escape from it. So, then Swami, then what is the position? Position is Ishvara, Brahman, not Brahman, Ishvara, one step down. God is one step down from Brahman. God is one step down from Godhead. This God, that Brahman, that infinite, that pure consciousness, when it is endowed with Maya power, it takes form. Actually, God is, real God is formless. That Brahman, Godhead, has no form. The moment he endows himself with his power, what type of power? If the Christian people believe God is all-powerful, what is that power? Power to create, preserve, destroy. Christian people are very difficult. They do not like to understand the destruction power, you see. Do you know what do? They put the power of destruction on the devil. And creation and preservation in gods, but not in Vedanta. Power is only one. It can be used in many ways. You are driving. Safely you can drive. You drink several bottles of alcohol. You are drunk. You may make an accident and you can kill yourself. You can kill several people on the freeway. Same power is driving. Same power, same fire cooks food for your hungry stomach. Same fire can burn your house, can burn your child. There are not two different fires. Same water current, when it is, sometimes it is high tide, sometimes it is low tide. Same current of water. See, power is only, energy is only one. Electric energy, do you think there are two kinds of energy? Same electric energy. You can do many things from this energy. The energy, this power, is one. He preserves, he creates, he destroys. Why does he destroy? Because this is his play. If he cannot destroy, he cannot create new. Why do you remodel your home? Why do you destroy your car and buy a new car? Same theory. You are not happy with your you know, something, some house which is dilapidated condition. In America, it is better to destroy and build a new house than repair that old house, you see. What to do? So try to understand this way. This Ishvara, God, is the efficient cause and the material cause of the universe. In Vedantic term, it is called Shagun Brahman, Brahman with qualities. Please, Swami, I am telling you conclusion first, then I shall argue. What he is trying, it is saying, how is it possible? The same thing. I know matter, matter, spirit, spirit. How is spirit can go mixed with matter and spirit? How can they be together? See, Paul is watching the dilemma. Whether hen first or egg first, it is a dilemma. Egg comes from hen, again hen from egg, hen comes from egg. Seed comes from the tree, tree comes from the seed. They are continuously rotating. Which one is first? Nobody knows. If I ask you, hen came first or the egg came first? Whether seed first or the tree first? There is no solution. So spirit and matter, a consciousness, you know, and the matter, which one first? Which one is first? See the dilemma? Vedanta says, no creation is possible without desire. Desire comes only from conscious beings. This chair does not have any desire. It cannot produce. You have desire. You can produce many things. You are a conscious being. Now look the other way. Here is a spider. It made a cobweb in the corner of the roof, in the corner of the ceiling. And this cobweb tries to catch flies or mosquitoes or bugs. That is the food of that spider. How does the cobweb come from spider's body? Spider is a conscious being. It creates its own cobweb. And again, it can withdraw itself into itself, withdraw that net into itself. So God, that conscious being, creates, preserves, and again dissolves within itself. That is the conclusion. Before I start to read again, first I shall have to give you some ideas. The theory of creation according to Indian philosophical system. Then you will know what I am talking about. According to Buddhistic theory, creation, the causes, the cause does not exist. Cause is asat. Cause is non-existent. Example, here is a seed, and seed bursts, and it is destroyed. And that seed takes the form of a plant and a tree. So the destruction, at that time, the seed does not exist. So the cause, the effect came from that seed, but seed does not exist. It is destroyed. It is gone. So cause does not exist. That is their view. Abhav. Abhav means non-existence is the cause of this world. This world does not exist. Swami, what you are talking about, what does not exist? Do you know what is the philosophy of Buddha? Sarvam kshanikam, kshanikam, salakshanam, salakshanam, dukkham, dukkham, shunnam, shunnam. That is Buddha's whole philosophy. Everything is kshanikam, temporary, impermanent. Everything is impermanent. Second, swalakshanam, swalakshanam. Everything is, each individual thing is a separate entity, species. And each one is different. When it is grow, it is born, it dies. It does not create any kind of link or continuation. Example, when you go to take bath in the river, the water touches your body. Same water does not touch your body again. New water is continuously touching. Third, dukkham, dukkham. This world is full of misery, misery. Shunnam, shunnam. Everything is void. Iti postu, jeev jagat, the world, you, all these things will merge into void. Like, if you blow the lamp, where does the light go? It vanishes. So all these beings, this world will vanish. The second school is called the logician's school, Arambhavad. Atomist. They believe atoms are real. Tiny atom. When one atom, two atoms, three atoms, four atoms, millions of atoms meet together, at that time they take the shape of a form. Millions of atoms are continuously taking combination of these atoms. So, the cause is real. effect is not real. But what do you mean, Swami? Effect is not real? Effect, this body is the effect of that atom. This body disintegrates and again goes into atom. So atom is always real. The thing which has a form is unreal. Only formless thing is real. Atom is formless. That is the Noyaika's view. The logicians believe that. Then Vedanta will challenge the logicians. The thing which is formless, you think another atom, this atom is formless, this atom is formless. How the formless touch the other formless? It is impossible, illogical. That is the Vedantic view. Vedanta attacks the logicians that way. If formless does not touch the formless, only form can touch the form. So this school believes this creation came through the combination of the atoms. This creation is not real, but atoms are real. These billions of atoms, trillions of atoms in this world. And that atoms are also only four kinds. Air, atoms come from the air. Heat, light, water, liquid, and earth, solid. These are the four kinds of atoms. This whole creation came from the four kinds of atoms. Next school, Purinambad, Shatkarjabad. The Shankar philosophers believe this creation came from existence. The cause is real, the effect is real. That is their view. Cause is real, effect is real. This school says that, you know, if you want oil, if you crush sand, you will not get the oil because oil is not there. You will have to crush sesame seed or what is called peanut. If you crush them, you will get oil because oil is there. You may not see it, but it is there. This school believes this world is real. Prakriti, nature is real. Creation comes from the imbalance of Prakriti. There are three gunas, sattva, calmness, rajas, restlessness, activity, tamas, dullness. These three gunas are in this world, in this universe. When the rajas, activity, energy, jumps on the sattva and the tamas, creation begins. Now look how Vedanta speaks to these Shankar philosophers. Sir, please tell me whether your prakriti is conscious or unconscious. This nature, is it conscious or unconscious? It is unconscious. They believe it. Then if it is unconscious, what is the cause of this imbalance of the gunas? You say that all of a sudden it starts to vibrate, agitate. What is the cause? Well, cause is the Purusha, the conscious, they believe Purusha and Prakriti. Purusha, at the vicinity of this Purusha, Prakriti vibrates. So it is the meeting point of the Purusha and Prakriti, Prakriti vibrates and loses balance. That is the way happening to all of us. Our mind is continuously vibrating. Why? What for? Because we lose balance. A man of a steady wisdom, his mind does not hesitate much. Very quiet mind. Look, it is very important to know these philosophical schools so you know your condition, my condition. So what happens? It says that, you know, this prakriti, nature, is unconscious. But the moment Purusha, conscious principle, comes, this prakriti moves. and both are real. Purusha, consciousness is real, Prakriti is real. Vedanta says it is impossible. You speak something illogical. There cannot be two reality. There cannot be two infinites, because one limits the other. It is illogical. You see, there are two infinites. Are infinite cannot be two. Infinite is only one. So, this school also is nullified. Do you know what do they say? They say this milk transforms into yogurt. Milk is real, yogurt is also is real. It is a total transformation. This God has become this universe. That is their view. This whole universe is his body, real. God is real, universe is real. Pulishwami, what is wrong if we think about that? Again, on in moksha prasanga, you will not get liberation. Do you know why? The thing which is subject to modification, the thing which is created, is subject to destruction. Whatever you see in this world is a created substance. That thing is subject to destruction. There is no exception to this rule. This chair has been created one day, this chair will be destroyed one day. This house, this Vedanta temple was built one day, it will be destroyed one day. It will disintegrate. Perhaps after 100 years, 200 years, this temple will not be here. Perhaps somebody will build a new temple. But this form may not remain this way. I saw a documentary movie in Grand Canyon. Our Land, that was the name of the documentary movie. 500 million years ago, what was America? 400 million years ago, 300 million years ago, 200 million years ago, 100 million years ago. They're showing the evolution. That what was this land, our land? Earthquake, volcanic eruption from Alaska to Mexico. What are the changes came on this soil of America? It is amazing. I saw that documentary. This is world is continuously changing, changing, changing. Now, I shall tell you what is Vedantic view of creation. Vibarto. Transformations comes in two ways. Real transformation, apparent transformation. What is real transformation? Milk has become yogurt. That is real transformation. What is apparent transformation? Due to darkness, the rope has become snake. Don't forget these two illustrations. Real transformation, milk has become yogurt. We see it, we taste it. And apparent transformation, because of darkness, there is a rope on the floor at a distance, you see, hey, snake. I may see that is a garland. Another person may see, perhaps there is a crack on the floor. Actually, it is a rope. All these projections came because of darkness. Vedanta says, you see mirage. What is mirage? When the sun reflects on the sand, you think there is water. Actually, it is mirage. There is no water there. From a distance, on the walking through on the beach, you see a mother of pearl. You think perhaps that is a piece of silver. Actually, it is a mother of pearl. So this projection, this is called apparent manifestation. It is not real manifestation. That is the way we look at this world. A man, woman, trees, car, home, money, stock market, and all these hopeless things you see in this world are all apparent manifestation, not real. Due to darkness, due to ignorance, we see all these things. You are a very good man. But I am thinking, oh, perhaps he's a murderer, he's a drunkard, he's a very bad person. Actually, you are a really good man. A drunkard and all these bad things is in my mind, that I'm projecting on you and I am seeing you through my mind. It is amazing how we project. If I have hatred inside, I shall project that hatred on you. That I told you, everything, world is everything projected. You start to project good things, you will find your world is changing. Another thing, please remember, change is always subjective. That is, this aspect of Vedanta will be an eye-opener for you if you really understand what does it mean. I went to see Catalina Island. 1 year I was in vacation there in, I think it was in 84. No, in 83, I was in Catalina Island. Sometimes I used to go for a walk to the Avalon. And once I took a boat trip, you know, and I was seeing flying fish. I have never seen flying fish in my life. There I saw flying fish. Fish is flying quite a bit, and then again it drops into the water. Again it goes up and flies and falls into the water. This fish has really wings. I have seen. I do not know whether you have seen it or not. Why does it learn to fly? Do you know why? That little fish, they will be eaten up by sharks and the other big fish in the ocean. So if it wants to survive, it will have to do something. Otherwise, it will be eaten up. That fish cannot change the ocean. Hey, ocean, give me protection. Ocean does not give any protection. The fish cannot change the mind of the shark. Hey, shark, practice nonviolence. The shark does not practice nonviolence, you see. So neither it can change the water, ocean, nor it can change the mind of the enemy. So if it wants to survive, it will have to do something. So it learned how to fly. So if you really want to live in this world, learn how to live in this world with harmony and peace and joy. That is a technique. It is a special technique. Otherwise, all the time, like a bull, you are fighting and fighting and fighting. And in our country, they call it Mera Lodai. Have you seen that sheep, they have those who have big horn, they hit each other. They become so angry, they break their horn and bleed, but still they will eat. Those stupid animals, that is the way they fight. Even bull also, they hit each other. Learn how to live in harmony, peace, and bliss in this world. How? That I told last Sunday, practice detachment. Learn how to love. Take the position of a giver. Just love people. Don't expect anything in return. Just give. And learn how to be humble, tactful. Confrontation, quarreling, fighting is not the solution. But for the sake of truth, you know, you must not compromise with the truth. You know, somebody tries to delude you this and that, you must take a position. But you remember, you cannot change others. You can change yourself. If somebody comes to fight with you And if you continuously fight, you will lose your energy, you will lose your sleep, you will have to take sleeping pill, you will be sick, you will get a heart attack. Third, forget, this world is unreal. Just ignore it. Karma will come back, the person who is hurting you. And if you do not return, all these things will go back to him. That is Buddha's philosophy. Buddha says, a person, if you want to give me some gift, and if I do not accept your gift, what will happen? That man says, I cannot give you my gift, so I shall have to take it back. Same thing, if you emit poison, anger, jealousy, hatred on you, on me, and if I do not accept those things, where will they go? They will go back to you. It will be like a boomerang. Do not project hatred, anger, jealousy. They will come back to you. That I learned from Swami Vivekananda. He said that if you throw a stone, and if the world is round, that the stone will encircle the globe and will come back and hit on your back. The thing which you will project, that thing will come back to you. I was reading this morning that, you know, some churches in the south have burned down, some black churches. Shh! Could you imagine what will happen to these people? Perhaps that person will be born as a blind, lame, crippled. That is the way. We believe in reincarnation. Where will that result go? His karma will be unpaid. Christ says, as you sow, so you reap. His karma will not come back to him. Bound to come. A hatred is no good. Buddha said, hatred cannot be conquered by hatred. Hatred can be conquered by love. So I told you, four kinds of creation. According to the Buddhistic creation, the cause is unreal, effect is real. Among the Noyayikas, the cause is real, the effect is unreal. Buddha is just the opposite. According to Sankhya, cause is real, effect is real. According to Vedanta, this creation is not real, apparent. It is not actual manifestation, it is an apparent manifestation. Example, rope snake. It is due to darkness you see the snake, but it is really a rope. So you see variety, multiplicity. If you see double moon, double car, double vision, what does it mean? Your eyes are wrong. There is something defect in your eyes. You are driving, you have a double vision. What does it mean? That means you are not supposed to go out. You are in terrible shape. Ask your wife to drive you to the eye doctor. Don't drive. You will be in deep trouble. Double vision. So, Vedanta says, we will see variety, multiplicity, diversity. Do you know what does it mean? It means that you are ignorant. Well, Swami, billion people in this world are ignorant. We all see variety, multiplicity, diversity. Billions of people. They are all ignorant. Well, only 1 or 2% people, they see God in everything, only their visions are real. Their visions are real. Mrittu sa mrittum apnoti jahya nana eva pushyati. That he who sees variety, he is born again and dies again. Mrittu sa mrittu, he comes, he moves from death to death, death to death, death to death. he who sees variety, multiplicity here. If you see one, you will never be born again. You will be free forever. My goodness, I only told this. I could not start my class either. Anyhow, so you know what is in my mind and what is the conclusion of Vedanta. Now you can listen. Having projected, he entered into it. This passage declares that Brahman, after projecting the universe, entered into it. Further, Brahman cannot be material cause of the universe. In that case, the cause and effect being the same, the universe would be the conscious entity and therefore it would not be unreal. These arguments of the opponent are thus refuted. If you see that, you know, Brahman, this universe and God, you know, Brahman are the same, he is the both efficient and material cause, do you know what will happen? That means the universe also is conscious. Universe is not conscious. This world is unconscious. This matter. But what? Sarvam khalu idam Brahma. Everything is Brahman. There is no two. This deep jagat, this universe and the beings, whichever we see, is nothing but Brahman. Brahman is both immanent and transcendent. We discussed a part of it when we discussed about God, you remember. Brahman associated with Maya, when looked upon from the standpoint of his consciousness aspect, is the efficient or instrumental cause. And when looked upon from his upadhi aspect, is the material cause of the universe. What is Ishvara? What is God? Consciousness with Maya power. When you look at the consciousness aspect of God, that is the efficient cause. And the Maya aspect, upadhi, adjunct, then material cause. It can be thus illustrated. Inert iron filings, when placed near a magnet, show movement. Similarly, ignorance, which is inert and lifeless, shows activity owing to the proximity of Brahman. Therefore, Brahman is the instrumental to the activity and manifestation of Maya. Again, ignorance is the direct material cause of the universe, and therefore Ishvara also, who is the Lord of Maya, is indirectly said to be the material cause of the universe. As regards the condition that in case Brahman is the efficient cause, the passage quoted from Taittiriya Upanishad becomes meaningless. It may be said that the passage refers to Brahman as the material cause. Again, in explaining creation, the Vedantin applies the law of Vibhartha, which means the transformation of the cause into effect without the former losing its own character, hence apparent transformation. According to Vedantin, the world is the vibhartha Brahman, that is, the visible universe is mere illusion, an unreal, an illusory appearance, while Brahman is the only real entity. Vasishtha, a great teacher, gave a lesson to Rama. This world is unreal. When Rama got that lesson, he was the king, he stopped functioning. Why should I work for this unreal world? So there is a chaos in the kingdom because the king is not ruling. He says, I shall not work because this is illusion. Now, some people wanted to give up because the whole there is a chaos. The minister plotted to kill Vasishtha, Rama's guru. So when Vasishtha, the great sage, was coming to the court to Rama to give lessons, this minister engaged a mad elephant to hit this sage. So the elephant was running, you know, And the sage also ran away. Later on, when the sage escaped from that attack, he came to the court. Then the minister asked, that you teach this world is unreal, then why did you run away? He said, when you run away, running away is also unreal. Palayanopi mitha. But you said the world is unreal, then why did you run away? Why did you not face the elephant? Hurry, my running away is also unreal. You remember my joke? Everything is unreal. The doctor is unreal. The disease is unreal. The patient is unreal. And doctor, patient, disease, and medicine. Yeah. The doctor is unreal. The patient is unreal. The disease is unreal. The medicine is unreal. But the unreal doctor, through unreal medicine, can remove the unreal disease of the unreal patient. From the standpoint, everything is unreal. The unreal guru, through unreal mantra, can remove the unreal ignorance of the unreal disciple. Very interesting. Remember these four things, you know. Really, the unreal guru, through unreal mantra, everything is unreal. Unreal mantra, unreal ignorance, and the unreal disciple. I was reading a book, Why I Am Not a Christian, by Bertrand Russell. He told that because I am born in Christian country, I am a Christian, I don't believe it. Because my parents are Christian, I am a Christian, I don't believe it. But even the real Christians do not practice what Christ taught. If I go and slap on the face of the king of England, what will happen? He will not turn his next cheek to me. If anybody slaps on your right cheek, turn to your left. Do these people practice that? The way he started his book, Why I Am Not a Christian. So, you know, real Vedantin, he says, Swami, it is everything unreal, so we can do anything we like? You must have a strong common sense. Well, you believe, yes, you can do anything you like. If you rob somebody or attack a woman, police will take you and put you into prison, perhaps even a whole lifetime imprisonment. So, your attack is unreal, or your life in jail also will be unreal. If you have that knowledge that everything is unreal, it is not possible for you to do anything wrong. If the mind is not established in God, this world is unreal, this experience will never come. So always I say, you know, practical, be always pragmatic, practical, have a strong common sense. I told you that story, that one monk in Hollywood, he used to do the worship, you know. He put his shoes on the table, on the altar. So I said, why do you put your jogging shoe on the table? Are the Master Lord's pictures are there? Oh, you, Swami, your religion is only on shoes and all these things. He is giving a big sermon. Everything is Brahman. Uncle, all right. Everything is Brahman, that is wonderful. Then why don't you take all the picture and put it on the toilet and worship there? Because that is also Brahman. Oh, you, too much, too much, too much. A tiger is Brahman, lion is Brahman. In the zoo, if you go and embrace the tiger and lion, they will finish you up. So salute them from a distance. Hey, tiger god, lion god, you are good people, please stay there. Don't go and hug them. You will be in deep trouble. Some people misunderstand Vedanta. So you know Bivarta, rope snake. Yatha luta tuntu garjampati. No, I shall not just start today. It is too much today. You please ask me questions. I told too many things, but that's too confusing. Yes.
I'm not clear what is, if various things are unreal, unreal, what transformations are real? Why wouldn't the doctor curing the patient and the patient getting better, why wouldn't that be a transformation that's real?
Please try to understand two things, absolute and reality and relative. From the absolute standpoint, that there is no variety, there is no duality, only pure consciousness. But the moment you come in the realm of Maya, where there is duality, diversity, multiplicity, these things have apparent reality, not absolute reality. Please try to see this way. This is Brahman, pure consciousness, and this is the world and we, human beings. This Brahman becomes the world and human being through space-time causation. This is space-time and causation. When it disappears, this world disappears. The absolute becomes relative. It has relative reality. Sure, when I have a stomach ache, it is very real to me. Who says it is unreal? But if I am established in Brahman, if I am going to samadhi, that pain will not affect me at all. Your poverty, your loss of money, or your accident, or your home, your wife, your children, they are very real, but not absolutely real. Please understand what does it mean by real. Reality means the thing which exists all the time, past, present, and future. There is no such thing in this world you will find exists all the time. So these are changing. Your wife, your children, your job, your money, your home, your car, they are real, but not absolutely real. The moment you close your eyes, nothing will go with you. Naked came I from the mother's womb, naked shall I return thither. Nothing will go with you in that sense. Of course, when I have a stomach ache, I know it is real. I go and jump on the medicine cabinet and take some medicine.
So when you're speaking of things being unreal, you mean they have only a relative reality?
Exactly, exactly. Exactly.
What are the transformations if there's no diversity in Brahman, there's no diversity in God?
Mm-hmm.
What are the transformations that are real? Is bringing about Maya?
It comes from Maya. All these modifications, transformations come through Maya, or ignorance. As I say, that all the projections come from Maya. If there is no Maya, you have no mistake. You don't make any mistake. You see the reality itself. It is an amazing phenomenon. You know, for the reason I was asking, they try to watch your three states, waking state, dream state, sleep state, what you are doing. In dreamless sleep, there is no world in your mind. Your wife, your children, your job, your money, everything dissolve in dreamless sleep. Again, you come back. Again, they manifest. If you want to understand this world is unreal, you watch your sleep. Really, this world disappears. Why does it go? You know, it is a really mysterious phenomenon, this world, I tell you frankly, and our relationship with this world. Yes?
How can you be confident that the experience that you have in a samadhi state is real? Why couldn't that be unreal?
Good question. That is a wonderful question, Emily. During samadhi, the experience comes of the oneness. When that experience comes, three things will happen. Vidyate hridayagante siddhante sarva samsayaha shiyante chaisya karmani tasmin drishti parabari. Munjuku Upanishad says, the knots of your heart will be cut asunder. All doubts will dispel forever. All actions will cease to function when you have experienced it. Your life will be totally transformed. Nuvara Brahman becomes Brahman. You will see God in everything, in every being. all selfishness will die, will disappear from your mind forever. You will be like God. You will, you see, Emily, one thing you watch. That when that experience comes, you know. Whether your stomach is empty or not, I see in your face, I cannot tell you. Whether you finished your dinner or not. But you know your stomach is full. If your stomach is full, you know, my stomach is full, I am not hungry.